Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday, hanging out a bad seat, a broken ankle, bad old, a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad life, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves that oney bad, as long as she's got a couple of sips of JMO to go with it in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, but I'm at this house, it's tattered, my brains splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be shaking. Hey, what's kicking? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight. I've been watching the end of this Charlotte and New Orleans game, believe it or not, and I took the Hornets with the points in this game. And I thought the Pelicans would win the game, but they're not going to win the game. But I had that 7 spot with the Hornets. They're up 7 right now. This game's over. There's 15 seconds left, and they're absolutely humiliating New Orleans in New Orleans on Bourbon Street with all of their, you know, shoving Zion down your throat and Brandon Ingram and company. And they were just schooling Charlotte early in this game. But Charlotte's going to win the game, up 8, 15 left. And the thing about this game that was interesting was LaMelo Ball just absolutely roasting his brother Lonzo's stones, just like on the fire. He just roasted him, Mafia. The guy had a huge game. I think, like, at one point I was watching, he was one, like, dime away from a triple-double. Now, I want to look at the numbers because, you know, I was going back and forth. I'll tell you the whole story. I was watching the Nets. I was watching the Knicks. I was watching this game. But as I'm watching this game, this kid was incredible. He was, I guess he's 12, 11, and 9. He's one dime short of the triple-double, 4 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 5 from downtown, 11 boards, 9 dimes, 3 fouls. The guy was absolutely, you know, in my view, phenomenal tonight. Had a steal. Three turnovers. And then you look at his brother. Now, remember, the brother's in his third year. And his brother, 36 minutes, 2 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 7 from downtown, nothing from the line, 2 boards, 3 dimes, 1 steal, 1 block, and literally 5 points. I mean, he just was awful. He was just absolutely roasted tonight from his little brother. He'll never live that down. It was their first game together in the NBA, playing against one another, and the rookie, the little brother, lit up the big brother, and I mean, just pan-seared his ass. Just pan-seared him. I mean, that is just crazy. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Sportsman, Byline, Mightier 1090, San Diego, LA, and of course, the new Sports Grid Radio, channel 204 on Sirius XM. It's Gandhi being back on satellite. Toll free, the number 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Again, toll free, 844-843-6879. Romeo, Whiskey, Void, Velveeta, Slice, Lardass. Boom. Call the show. Don't be soft. Bring it. 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 So anyway, the final 118-110 Charlotte, and LaMelo can crack jokes at the Christmas dinner forever on his brother. Jesus, I have to tell you, Mafia, I got to switch back over to the Nets game, but I got to talk about... Oh, and they did. They came all the way back, and they were losing. There's 4.5 left. 4:20 to be exact. Spark it up, Sparky. Brooklyn now tied with Memphis at 104s. They were down big in this game, and they came all the way back in the third and at the beginning of the fourth, and it was awesome to see. LeVert was the guy doing all the damage. I'll tell you what the numbers are on this game right now. Hopefully I can... catch up, because they got the obviously the score wrong here that I'm looking at. Now it's accurate. So there's 3:45 and counting left. And I got to give you the box. LeVert was lighting it up, but he's got 14 of 21 from the floor, 6 of 8 from downtown, 6 of 6 from the line. The guy's got a 40 spot going right now. He going to sleep with your girlfriend. He gonna sleep with your lover. He gonna take your girlfriend. That's when you're having a big game right there. When you're dropping a 40 spot. Sounds like me. Open run, son. Can't get Pharrell no space. Prince has 16. Allen 12. Harris 10. And they came all the way back because they were getting jacked in this game. On the other side, really at the end of the day, it's... Brooks with 22. Nobody else really matters. Clark's got 19. Jones, 11. Trey Jones, 11. We got a lot going on tonight. We're going to talk about all the NBA games on the bench.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Bucket again from Brooks, and it's 108-104 Memphis. And there's like 225 and rolling left down on Beale Street in Memphis. All right, so the number again, toll free, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Let's go to Philip in New Orleans. You're on the bench. What's happening, brother?
Oh, I'm living for real, man. Just chilling in the trap house, watching little brother just take big brother to school. Jumped on these Nets, plus 3.5 and plus 1.5. So hopefully they can give me something back, bring me some joy.
Yeah, man. I was on at Hornets tonight because of, I mean, the whole time I did the bet, I thought about, okay, what do we got here tonight? We got big brother, little brother, and then we're going to watch, you know, I mean, because I think Charlotte's awful, right? Flat out. They're disgusting. They smell. But the fact is that I knew tonight that that kid was going to try to, you know, take on his brother, because his entire life he's been his little B, and that's all there is to it, right? So, I mean, how about this kid tonight with his handle and with his one shy of a triple-double? Now, I don't know if he got it in the end because I'm doing a show and I'm looking up. I got no volume on, but what a performance from that kid. And you know, it's funny, they don't start him. And then, you know, for most of the fourth quarter, it seemed like to me the chunk that I just watched, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in the, you know, game. He was sitting on the bench in the last 5 minutes of the game. Like, so it's like they mess with him a little bit. I mean, he gets a lot of burn, but I don't think he gets enough. Do you?
I think he's just so frail, that little body. But I mean, the Pelicans are soft. I mean, I'm talking Sherman. Just soft. We're soft. I mean, it's just not cutting it. Not cutting it. My big man, Dick Van Gundy, supposed to come out here and bring some defense. The guy's putting up 116, 120 every night. It's not cutting it. The Trap House is not pleased. Not pleased at all.
It was not. Hey, it's embarrassing.
You got to drop an album one day for real. Those bars you drop every day, bro. You nice out there, man. Don't the streets is listening, bro. The streets.
Listen, that team, it's amazing to me that you bring that Charmin up, because I was actually shopping today and I picked up like a 12-pack of Charmin. There's only one way to go, son, when you're dealing with a TP, son. You got to get that Charmin going, because the rest of them are all imitators, all fall short of the glory of my boy Charmin. And I'm not a big fan of the Little Bears and all their crappy commercials, but the TP is strong, strong effort right there. I got to say, I'm a big fan of Charmin, but I will say, when I was watching, you know, it's funny, that team has all this talent on it. You know, let's face facts. You know, well, first of all, I don't deny that Zion's a badass. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about his abilities to, you know, bowl in a China shop, go straight to the 10. He means business. There's no getting around it. But, you know, I still think he's a fat ass. I still think he's out of shape. Like, and here's where I notice it. And tell me if I'm tripping, Phil. I mean, tell me if I'm tripping. Like, when there's like a loose ball in their end, like if he misses a layup or something, or the ball comes off the rim and there's a loose ball on the floor and there's, you know, three guys looking at it, and one of them's going to be quick enough to go down there and snag that ball and get it and keep it, or they're going to not get it and they're going to go the other way. Someone's going to reach down, kick it, go. But it ain't him, because he's so fat. In my opinion, he just sits there and looks at it. He don't even bend over. He's like, I'm not getting it. He's all about one thing. You give him the ball, he spins. He does that 360 backspin where he'll plant his foot and drive and go the other way and then finish hard at the rack. And then he's got the other move where he just dribble, drive, dunk. I mean, that's what he does. He's not pulling up mid-range. He's not pulling up three. I don't like him at the line. And I think he's kind of slow and out of shape for, you know, loose change and stuff. Am I tripping?
They have some legs to pull that mid-range game. Third quarter, fourth quarter. We're a first-quarter team, man. Front runners. Front runners. Put them in the front of the floats. Let them walk with the band.
Now,
for the
I won't deny, He had 26 tonight, 12 of 22. He's going to get his 26, 8, and 3. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just saying, it's the little things. Imagine if he was, like, in shape, like real shape, like NBA shape, where he was, like, bringing it every night, because they're giving him the burn. They're giving him the minutes. There's no getting around that now that he gets, you know, his, because remember last year they had him on all these minutes restrictions and everything else. But if he was in kick-ass shape – And he was, you know, able to be, you know, loose balls, loose change, rebounds, you know, pop off the floor, get a tip back in. To me, it's all one and done. It's like hit one move. He either gets it in the hole or dunks it, or that's it. It's over. But he gives 34 minutes. I'm okay with the minutes, but imagine if he was in shape. Now, the rest of that team I like, but tonight Ingram was ass, 3 of 11 from the floor, right? And I love Adams. He's just a violent big in the middle, in the paint. He owns that world. Bledsoe's still the same crappy guard that was in Milwaukee. 3 of 8 from the floor, 8 points, boring. Ball, I already gave you his numbers, boring. Redick was hitting, hit 4 threes tonight. He had been slumping for weeks. Hart had 19, he hit 4 threes. I don't have a problem with their talent. I don't have a problem with Hart. I don't have a problem with Redick. I don't have a problem, frankly, with any of them. Ball, Adams, Zion, Ingram. They got all the talent in the world. But I'm not a Bledsoe fan. I thought he turned into a football player in the NBA. When he was in college at Kentucky, he was thin, he was lightning quick, and now the guy's just hit too many weights and too many big dinners with that big contract of his. He's never been a great player in the NBA, if you ask me. Phillip, it's great hearing from you, brother. I love talking Nets with you. That's kick-ass. Can we go to Marco Polo, my boy up in Le Quebec, et la boue, hein?
Yeah. First time I call you on the Sports Grid radio, my friend.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah, you don't believe me, but starting tomorrow night, that the government said on Wednesday that we will have a curfew. We cannot go out starting at 8 and at night until 5 in the morning.
Drag. That sucks. You know, what's cool is I've been to Quebec, believe it or not, and it's just such a magnificent, beautiful city. I just think it's so trippy. So I went when I was younger, right? And I remember the big walls. It's like a fortress, and the city's incredible. It's just so magnificent. It's like, I mean, and I say this respectfully, it's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. It reminds me of France or whatever. Obviously, everybody's French-Canadian. They speak French, all the rest. But it's just such a great place. So now you're telling me, and I used to go up there and watch the Stastny brothers play hockey, you name it. But I always thought it was a huge mistake for the NHL to leave Quebec. I just think it was just dumb. They should still be in Quebec. I think they should, you know, if you're going to expand to Las Vegas, if you're going to expand to Seattle, why wouldn't you put a team back in Quebec? That is crazy, because they were thinking, oh, let's put another team in Toronto. We'll have two teams in Toronto. Please stop. That's a stupid idea. They should have put a team in Quebec. Quebec is kick-ass. I've always been a fan of it. But so because of the COVID, you're telling me now it's so bad that they're shutting down the city, and it's going to be locked down and curfew.
The whole province, Kali. I just want to meet you that the whole province, we will be in the curfew starting tomorrow night.
That's
until,
crazy.
February 9th, yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question, because I got 30 seconds. What do you want to ask me about sports-wise, so that when I come back, if we can hold you on the line? I don't know what Mafia's got going on. I think I got a guest coming up, but what did you want to talk about? I got 15 seconds real quick.
Yeah, about the Bills. You were in Bedway again with Cover High, and did you bet with Ariel Lepstein about the game between the Ravens and the Titans on Sunday?
Yeah, listen, I'm on the Titans. I'm really good friends with Ariel. I love her. She's cool. Carver High, I think he's doing in-game live right now on the TV side. He's a freak. He's all nervous about his Bills. I'm a Steeler fan, so screw everybody.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday, 844-843-6879. Just in case you're stupid like me, it's a toll-free number. You may not recognize the 844 because you're just like not from that side of the river, but it's toll-free, 844-843-6879. That means all my stoner friends in Southern California, in San Diego, and Los Angeles, all over SoCal. I know sometimes you get flustered. I'm just like you. Bro, I never heard of no 844, dude. I'm not paying that bill, bro. I'm not, listen, dude, my bill's bad enough, bro. I got to pick up an 8 tomorrow. I got no time to be paying no phone bill. So there it is. Call that number to get on the bench and wax up. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. We love you on 1090. Check out. Bulls and Lakers at Staples and la-la-la-la-la-la-la Lipstick City underway. No AD tonight. 18 apiece. 3:49 left in the first. I'm watching this one. Clip Joint and the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. 24-12 right now. Clippers out of the gates with the early lead. 3:47 in the first, left in the quarter. Boom. And the Kings on the Raptors, 35-19, 4 minutes left in the first. I told you today on Coast to Coast that the Raptors suck. I mean, it is unbelievable how they fell off, right? Like, do you remember they won a title with Kawhi, and then last year they really weren't that bad. Now they lose Ibaka, and they just flat out suck. It really is amazing. I've literally been betting against them every night and making money. And, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, Mafia knows it's true because he runs PharrellOnTheBench.com with all the picks. So last night, literally, and I said this today on the TV show, I hit the Spurs over the Lakers. I hit Cleveland over the Grizz. I hit the Mavs outright to win in Denver and getting the 3.5. And I hit the Blazers and laid the 10 against the T-Wolves and covered that too. I have just been smoking hot. And then College Rack last night, it literally was unbelievable. I mean, it truly was unbelievable what I did last night. I'm talking about, I mean, no joke. Listen to this. Wisconsin to win in double overtime over Indiana, but the Hoosiers cover 7.5. They lose by 7. I hit Colorado over Oregon to win and land 2. Iowa to win it, Maryland, and land 4.5. My number one play, boom, boom. Double cover. Washington State laying 1.5, double cover. Lost the SMU game, fair enough. Can't win them all, Susie. Colorado State to win, UNLV to cover the 8.5, double cover. Zags to win and land 18.5. They didn't cover that fat number. And then Illinois to win, Stanford to win and land 9.5, double cover. Arizona to win and land 3.5, double cover. And then I hit the Nevada 12.5 against San Diego State, Aztecs to win, Wolfpack to cover, and I hit UCLA in overtime and land 1.5 at Arizona State. Hit both of those bets, double cover. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous what I'm doing. And then back to tonight, I told you, you know, I bet against the Raptors now every night, and all they do is lose. It's just fantastic. Today on Coast to Coast, I said, you know, I know the Pistons are 1-7. I know they suck, but I'm going to take the 7 at home against the Suns, and they beat them 110-105 in overtime. And then Celtics, I gave you over the Wizards, and I want to see what that number was. 5.5, and they covered that, so 116-107 Celtics. I gave you the Hornets plus 7 against the Pelicans. I got smoked on the Magic. The Rockets lit them up, 132-90. But I think the Rockets have been bunk. And then the Grizzlies just won that game by five. They finished off the Nets. So LeVert had the huge game, and it didn't even matter. When you have a huge game and you lose, you don't matter. Chicks don't dig you. And the Jazz upset the Bucks tonight in Milwaukee, 131-118. Everybody's ripping tickets on that one. That's for sure. So, and then all weekend long, same thing, NBA, college rack. You know, Mavi, I sent a lot of the college rack and NBA for tomorrow. There's no spreads. You can't find them to save your ass. So it's going to be like a morning thing where I'm working on those NBA lines early in the morning. And then college rack, I got probably 75% of them done. And then there's still a bunch of games that are naked without. So we'll see how that goes. But I wanted to say one thing about the Knicks tonight. I really did, because I got burned on the Knicks. The Thunder beat them. And they were laying two, and they lost the game, 101-89. And I have to tell you, the Knicks' three-game win streak ended. I know the Knicks are awful. They've been awful for 20 years. And I've been sitting here rooting for the Knicks for, you know, two decades. And it's just been an atrocity, and it's been torture. If you watch the Knicks every night, you want to kill yourself because they're so awful. And just night after night after night, I've supported them, watched them, because I like Lid so much. And I just got to, you know, follow him. I live here in New York City, so I got to watch the Knicks. I mean, what else are you going to do? So I watch the Nets and the Knicks every game, every night. It is what it is. And they both sucked forever. And that's all there is to it. And then they got – the Nets got this prima donna, Kyrie Irving. He just – I mean, what is with this flake? The guy doesn't show up for work. He's like, I don't want to play tonight. I'm having personal issues. Shut up. You're such a femme. Honest to Christ. I mean, they pay this guy a fortune to ball, and he never wants to ball. He never plays. He misses entire chunks of the season. You can't even argue with me. You can't even argue with me about it. The guy misses more time than, you know, you can't even tell me anyone else that's a superstar that misses that many games. I mean, even Kawhi with all of his load management plays. At least he plays the front end of every game that's back-to-back. Then he rests. He's another one that takes way too much time off. I've always said, can you imagine telling Dr. J to take the next night off? Can you imagine telling Moses Malone? I mean, honestly, can you imagine telling Wilt Chamberlain? Here, you're going to play a game, sit a game, play a game, sit a game, play a game, sit a game. I mean, it's just soft. I don't care what anybody says. The NBA today, they're paying a guy $200 million and he never effing plays. Honest to God. But here's what I wanted to say tonight about the Knicks. I have to say it. So I'm watching the game. 34 C's in the other room. I got a lot going on over here. She's in the other room. She's hearing me cussing left and right, cussing left and right. She's like, oh, remember in Scarface? All you say is Pharrell, 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 all day long. Do you ever say anything else except Pharrell? Remember when she's talking about Tony and Manny cussing and dropping F-bombs? Remember? And so tonight, I'm cussing like crazy, and she hears me, and she's just like, Jesus effing Christ, what is going on in here? What are you cussing at? I said, oh, nothing, honey. It's just the Knicks shooting 30%. She goes, what's that? I go, well, that means they're making 30% of their shots. And she said, so? I said, well, that means, you know, they're missing 70% of the shots. Like, honestly, I watched them tonight shoot 35%. In an NBA game. Now, people can say whatever they want, but when you shoot 35%, how in Christ are you going to win anything? I mean, they were shooting. I mean, it was like a mortar convention. Brick and mortar. It was literally, I thought I was at the Mason convention. Here we go. I can't even make this stuff up. The beginning of the game, I'm watching Elfrid Payton, and this guy sucks so bad. I mean, honestly, if you look, there's a lot of people listening to this show, they'll be like, if they've never heard me before, they're like, what is with this guy's voice? He's got this gravelly voice. It's so painful. Screw you. Shut up. You'll get your face smacked. So if you can't handle it, have a sandwich. Roll over, Rover. This is big boy radio over here. This is grown man moves over here. Dropping elbows. Going straight to the rack. There's none of that sissy stuff here. No sugar here, Mafia. None of that sweet stuff. So I'm watching the game, and this Elfrid Payton, oh my God, does he just suck so bad. I'm like, listen, I want to be a fan. I want to be a friend. I want to be his buddy. But I'm watching this guy, and he was 4 of 16 from the floor in this game. And I mean to tell you, 12 of them were from 2 effing feet away. 2-foot little poppers from the... like right in the low block, like right at the best, 2 feet away. This guy's 2 feet away and he couldn't hit anything. He missed 12 of them. Every time he went down, he'd have this great move, great handle. He'd dribble drive. He'd get down in there 3 feet away and pull up, and he would hit the back of the iron like the guy was throwing fastballs at the glass. I mean, I'm like, dude, you are effing the worst. You suck. Elfrid Payton, until further notice, you are the worst shooter I've ever seen in my life. You suck. You're terrible. You shouldn't even be paid to play pro basketball. My God. He missed 12 two-footers tonight, Mafia. At least. He was 4 of 16, 1 of 4 from downtown. You're terrible. You suck. Your family doesn't even love you. You're so bad. Terrible. I mean, I 2-footers. He missed 12 of them. I was like, God damn. Dude, you're so awful. RJ Barrett, 7 of 21. You suck too, even though I like you. When you're off, you are literally off. I mean, oh, when this guy's having a bad night, hide the car keys. I don't even want him driving me to the deli to pick up a sandwich. I'll die in a car crash. Oh my God. Oh my God, are you awful. Kevin Knox, 3 of 9. Austin Rivers, 5 of 12. The kid Quickly out of Kentucky, 1 of 9. They sat his ass down because he couldn't hit the broadside of the bar. He was at the ocean trying to, like, he was standing on the shoreline trying to throw a rock into the ocean, and he hit the street behind him. He's so awful. God, the Knicks suck. They're so terrible.
Listening to the source of live odds, line, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. But we just call it The Winning Edge. Keep it here.
There's plenty to go around.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. We were supposed to have Jerry Palm of CBS on the other night. One thing led to another, and it didn't happen. So it was like technology, all kinds of issues. We have solved them. It took us 3 days to figure it out. But now that we have it all, the market cornered on problems, and we've got, you know, Mafia figuring stuff out. He's like a genius. We have Jerry Palm finally waxing on the bench on a pain-free Friday. Jerry!
Hey, Scotty. Never a geek around when you need one, huh?
Right. It really is a problem, and most of them don't like me to begin with. They say I have a foul mouth. So first things first, take me back to tonight in the Breslin in East Lansing. I didn't watch the game, and I was talking about Michigan State and Purdue today on the TV show on Sports Grid, and I was like, you know, looking at the number, it was like 4.5 or something like that, and I was like, I don't think Michigan State can beat anyone by 4.5. I literally think Michigan State is terrible. And then tonight they proved it. Weren't they up big on Purdue? It was at least 17 points. How did Purdue come storming back in the second half, other than Trevion Williams went off? How did they win that game tonight in East Lansing?
It was really defense and forcing a bunch of turnovers from Michigan State, because Purdue didn't shoot, you know, for crap, really. They were 3 for 24 from three-point range. And still found a way. They were 0-for-12 in the first half. It just, you know, when Purdue shoots that badly from three-point range, they get drilled. And but their defense, you know, forced turnovers, got some second chances, rebounded well, which is not always easy to do against Michigan State. But you can tell Michigan State really misses Cassius Winston. That they just haven't, they have not been able to run their offense, take care of the ball the way they need to beat good teams. And I'm not putting really Purdue in that class. I mean, I think Purdue could be an NCAA tournament team, maybe. They'll probably spend the whole season on the bubble. But it's, you know, it's. I mean, they went into Duke and won. But it's, yeah, it's Michigan State's just having trouble finding consistency. And it's, you know, for Purdue tonight, though, you've got a team with no seniors to go into Breslin, even though the gym is mostly empty. And to get a win is, right, is really a confidence booster for them.
Okay, so look, they won it at Duke, fair enough, at like the first game of the year. And that night we found out that Krzyzewski had nothing, and they were small. And now we know Duke sucks this year. That's just all there is to it. And then, but since that game, Michigan State has been dreadful. I can't even believe they're ranked. I mean, they have like the same amount of wins as Purdue now. I mean, so they shouldn't be ranked at all. It's unbelievable to me with the talent they have, the size, the grown men, they have like muscle on that team like nobody's business. I've never seen an Izzo or Krzyzewski team ever in my life look as bad as this year what they have going. In fact, it was so bad at Duke that Krzyzewski wanted to quit the season. And he's like, it's because of the COVID and all the rest. He's probably telling the truth. But here's a guy that said, we have to play the season. We have to play the NCAA tournament. We have to play ball this year. And then the minute they start losing, he starts talking about we shouldn't have a basketball season. Which is it? Make up your mind, coach. And you know I'm a Krzyzewski guy because he's a Bob Knight guy. And I know he's done better than Knight with five titles, but Knight taught him everything he knows. He's gone crabby in his old age. I thought this year he was wavering. You know, one day he wants to play, the next day he doesn't. Can you even elaborate on that?
Well, I think probably at least somewhat has to do with the fact the women's team packed it in because of COVID, and that probably got his attention at some level. But, I mean, what are they, 4-2? They've had problems already this season just, you know, getting onto the court to play their games. They haven't beaten anybody of any significance. It's funny, I did a bracket today and Duke's not in it. And, you know, people are like, well, where's Duke?
Wow.
They haven't beaten anybody. I mean, their best win's Boston College, you know, and they lost at home to Michigan State. They lost at home to Illinois. And, you know, Illinois is a good team, but, you know, there just isn't any.
Right.
If you look at what it's called, you know, Duke's resume to this point, six games in, it's hard to evaluate teams,
right,
after six games, but that's this weird year we're in. But they haven't done anything yet.
Do you think they'll beat they're favored by 12 and a hook over Wake tomorrow. I don't think they can beat anybody by 12 and a hook.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not take Duke double digits over anybody at this point. They're going to have to show me.
I mean, let me ask you, Jerry, a question, because I want to get into the football game as well with you, but I have to ask you this, because last night I watched, now I hit the bet, I had Indiana in 7.5, they lose by 7 in double overtime in Madison, they haven't won there since 98, that's really neither here nor there to me, but the question is, I don't know if you watched the game, but they should have won the game at the end of regulation, they had basically a shot from 3 feet out, miss, and then he got two tip-ins right off the miss, right? You know, the same hand, the tip-in, and they both went off iron and fell out. Then, at the end of the first overtime, with 10 seconds left, they had the last possession, and Jackson gets the ball, and he turns, and he gets, you know, held up, and they give him a jump ball, and then, which it was, and then they go down, Davidson shoots the ball, and he rims it out. Wisconsin could have won there, and then in the second overtime, Wisconsin hit all those shots and ran away with it and won, put Indiana backdoored and covered by the hook. But that's not my point.
Oh.
My point is, he's got three Mr. Basketballs on that team, Archie Miller. And I think, Leon, they don't even give the kid the ball. He hit three threes in the game. He was 3 of 6. They never give him the ball. The defender's 6 feet off of him, and his own teammates still don't give him the ball. No one guards him. They don't give him the ball. Meanwhile, no one, not one guy on that team can shoot. Not one guy can shoot the ball. The only guy they got, the big guy, is dunking. That's all he does is dunk. He can't shoot. So let me ask you this question. Why does Archie Miller get, like, people say he's a coach. He should go back to Dayton. He's been terrible at Indiana. And Tom Crean was better, and at least he took him to tournaments and Sweet 16s. Archie Miller's going backwards. I don't care what anybody says. He sucks.
Yeah, Tom Crean won the league.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Tom Crean fan as a coach necessarily, but you know, he wasn't terrible at Indiana, but Archie Miller's teams at Indiana have not been as good as the talent on the roster. And that's, you know, that to me, that's coaching. It just haven't been as good as the talent on the roster. And
that's right.
Armon Williams, he's out, right?
Yes.
So yes. I think they miss him. You know, that I think that's a key guy for them. But still, yeah. Can you? I mean, you and I are old enough to remember Wisconsin. Wisconsin went like 14 years without beating Purdue or Indiana home and road. And
right.
How IU can't win at Wisconsin? In what, 17 years they can't win at Wisconsin? That's, I mean, I know Wisconsin, you know, it's better. They're a legit program now, but man,
they're not good.
Lucky one.
They're not good. I mean, they're terrible. No, I think they're both terrible. I watched the game. I don't think that Wisconsin has anything on that team. Trice, maybe at best, is decent. Come on, they're not beating anyone. They're not going. If they go to the tournament, they're not winning anything. Nothing. They're not Sweet 16, ain't nothing. Forget it. So let me ask you. Yeah, and they're terrible. They can't shoot from outside at all, which I don't have a problem with. I love teams that, you know, I love teams that dribble drive and get down into the paint and pass to bigs and finish, like Michigan. Michigan has an inside-outside game. They'll drive, they'll kick it to the big will dunk it. They're always looking for the last-second pass on the drive, not just settling for transition and step-up threes. That's all these teams do in college basketball anymore is shoot threes, and I want to see teams move the ball, get it inside, flush dunk it, high percentage, get layups, get dunks, get finger rolls, get 2 foot, 3 foot, you know, little popper, mini hooks, and no one does it anymore. All these kids think the game is about shooting threes. It makes me sick. Let me ask you, Jerry, about the title game Monday night at Hard Rock in Miami. Alabama and Ohio State, what do you think?
Well, it's hard not to like Bama. You know, they don't really have much in the way of weaknesses. Their defense maybe hasn't been quite as good as we're used to seeing, but yeah, I'm a little worried about Ohio State. I mean, Alabama could throw, and Ohio State's secondary is just not that good. I mean, Wade's okay. You know, he'll play at the next level, but that's their weakness. And you've got the Heisman Trophy winner in Devontae Smith. And so here's the embarrassment of riches that Alabama has at that position is that for the first, what, four games that Jaylen Waddle played, he's the best receiver in the country, and then he gets hurt. And Devontae Smith, the second best receiver on the team, wins the Heisman Trophy. So, you know, what's Ohio State going to do to stop this team? They'll get theirs, right? Ohio State will get theirs. Their offense is too good to just shut down. But you know, the problem for Ohio State is if Fields is hurt, you know, with those ribs, he might be able to throw. But the part of a big part of his game is his ability to run. Well, you're not going to call his number as a running quarterback if he's got, you know, sore ribs, because you don't want that to get aggravated. And he may not even scramble because he doesn't want to risk getting hit downfield. So I don't know. That's a part of their offense. It puts a lot more pressure on Trey Sermon, who's been fantastic the last couple of games.
Right.
But I just think that if Fields is limited, this is really an all hands on deck game. Everybody's got to be full go, and I'm not so sure with Justin Fields being limited that they can keep up. They'll get some, but they're not going to be able to keep up with Alabama.
You know, I think we were talking about it today on the TV side. The kid Fields with ribs. I was talking to Dr. David Chow, Pro Football Doc, and he said that they shot him up in that game in the tent. And they're going to have to shoot him up before this game. And I was talking to him about it because I know I've torn my rib cartilage playing basketball. And I've broken ribs. And I got to tell you, it's the worst thing in the world. You can't get out of bed, can't get out of a chair, can't get out of a car, can't breathe. If you were to get a cough, like a cold and a cough, if you got a cough with broken ribs, you would literally rather stick a 357 Magnum in your mouth and blow your head off than cough with broken ribs. That's how bad it hurts. Like, it'll make a grown man go to his knees and cry to his mommy And that's all there is to it. So this guy's saying, I'll play through anything. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. No, you're not. If Alabama sticks him in the ground 3 or 4 times with those ribs, that kid is going to be done. That's just all there is to it. They're lying. He's lying. Everyone that's ever had broken ribs. Ask Drew Brees. You can't play with it. You cannot take a hit with broken ribs.
I know.
It is the worst pain on the face of the earth, having rib cartilage and broken ribs and acting like you're some kind of hard ass. After he took that shot, that kid was never the same. He looked like he was crying with in agony, the pain. The only reason he played the rest of that game is because they shot him up, and that's all there is to it. So I think that's the edge for Alabama. So I'm glad you brought it up. It's a great point. Jerry, you know we're going to get you on the bench and on the TV side throughout the season with college basketball as we get toward that great Hoosier State and all the great games they're going to play in those 6 locations for the NCAA tournament. I just hope they get it done. I hope we get there, and I hope we get to see it. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, and I'll talk to you again real soon about everything.
Yep. Anytime, Scotty. Love talking to you. Take care.
There he is, Jerry Palm of CBS on the bench. All right, Pharrell with you. It's toll-free 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Mafia, I know Justin Fields is talking about his ribs as if no problem. He's good to go. Shouldn't be an issue at all, except when he took that shot in the game against Clemson. Now, look, they kicked Clemson's ass. He was fantastic. Sermon was incredible. I get it. I'm all for it. La-di-da, let's go. But I just do not believe for 1 minute that he's fine with those ribs, because when he crumpled like a rag doll, and I mean to tell you, he was in agony. He was in agony. So unless he's got a miracle and they've healed and he's got that cartilage healed, I think, you know, my guess is he can't take massive shots. So if I'm Alabama, I try to hit him there as much and as often as possible. But Fields, let's listen to him. He says no problem.
The day after the game, I woke up definitely better than expected, but the days that I didn't expect to wake up kind of hurting was 2 or 3 nights after the game. But I mean, I really haven't, you know, thought about, you know, how this injury is going to affect how I'm going to play. I'm just thinking about getting as much treatment as possible and trying to get my body right to it, 100% to be able to perform at a max level on Monday night.
Well, he's going to have to come up huge against, let's face it, the juggernaut, the best team, and it's not them. I think Ohio State's really good, and I was surprised what they did to Clemson, no doubt. But Alabama, it is what it is. They always find a way. I mean, it doesn't matter who they play, where they play, when they play. It doesn't matter if it's beautiful, pouring rain, snow. They never play in snow. But imagine, it just doesn't matter. The elements, the team, nothing. The wind, nothing matters when you play them, because they're prepared to kick your ass, and that's what they do to everybody. And I think they'll get it done against Ohio State.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.